a creation, a unique creation, which was destined for a specific purpose. That's an
ace.
What about the Chiesa Mesim as a new Bria, as a new Maisa Bria. No other way out of it. Answering another way, I say no Maisa Bria. The Gemara says that Gadol Yem Agshamim. That's why Chiesa Mesim Yem Agshamim is Kishesh Kiyem Shesh Mei Breshes. It's all equated with Shesh Mei Breshes. Apparently, it's a new creation point there. Chiesa Mesim.
Maybe.
But nothing else. Nothing else. Chiesa
Mesim.
It's a new Breshes according to him. What time is the Breshes?
New
Breshes Bar. According to Chazal. Nothing's changed until Chiesa Mesim according to him. That's why I believe Ram said that it was just a stick in motion, but the essence hasn't changed. But it's impossible for the essence to be changed. Why it is that sometimes the Tzaddik Viralai, amazing Rambam, he says that man only relates to God through his intellect. So it's only during those times is he related to God. But during the times that he's doing other things, he has no relationship to God at all. Therefore, it says the divine protection is only during the times that he's related to God, in thought. But if he's out of thought, even a great prophet can be harmed. Amazing realm. He says, the moment he's not related to God, he says, he does not have the divine protection anymore. He says, therefore, you see, even great people could be harmed. Because at that moment, they're equal to anybody else. The moment they're not in... this is Chazal.
They're guided by chance.
That's what he says.
Amazing
realm. He says, but what basis do they say that? Because the only relationship between man and God is the intellectual. Otherwise, there's no relationship to God at all. And Hashgacha Pratis is the relationship between God and man. And the only time that relationship exists is through the intellectual. By the way, the animals don't relate to God.
The
Hashgacha is related to man. Hashgacha has to do with man's relationship to God, but it does not explain why it is that the protection comes only when you're related to God. It does not talk about it. He speaks about the Indian so much, but that key point he does not mention at all. See, when you say that it changed to a nachash, what does it mean it changed to a nachash? Does it mean that the stick was completely removed? Right? Stick vanished, and nachash was there in its place. Right?
Then it wasn't changed.
Or do you say that it is the same stick that was became a nachash? Now, if you're going to say the same stick became a nachash, then it's impossible to say that it became a nachash.
There's a million chemical changes.
When you have a problem with chemicals, then it's a different story already. When you have a problem with chemicals, you're saying it's the same chemicals that have a different form. But then he's not changing the essence anymore because you're saying the essence is chemicals.
What?
You're saying the essence is chemicals.
That's
a different story. He's saying the essence is chemicals. So therefore he's saying that the stick is only an accident. The fact that the stick is only an accident then. You understand what I mean?
No.
You're saying that since it's chemicals, the chemicals can change it back. So they're saying the fact that the stick is only an accident. But you show me an essence. Let's say wood is an essence. Let's say a stick is an essence and a snake is an essence. Two separate essences. Now, how's it possible the one should be converted to the other?
Then it comes out like this.
Apparently, held it was conversion, and conversion is impossible. So unless it's the same essence. Okay, that's the Chedorim. Okay. Now I think it's the end of the table. Kach kol mashatim to mishluch hazos ames mukfi mashlib teva. Whenever the Torah says that the explanations of these psukim by these far-fetched, strange, difficult-to-accept explanations, asherinu mevarim taina, which do not really explain any taina, explain away any taina, ela marzikim taina smak chishtrias amesim. But on the contrary, those answers strengthen the arguments against chishtrias amesim. Umiyatzvim devarav, and they show that they are right. The da, and you should know, ki akoshes chazar sanefesh leguf, we said this before also. There's only two reasons why you deny the Kriyas HaMesim. Two reasons. O she yakish hazem neishu dava bilti tivi. You mentioned before, right? He says either you deny because you say it's impossible. The sibazum achayeves lahakish. It's impossible according. In other words, not it's impossible according to the laws of nature, but it's impossible for God to do it. The sibazum achayeves lahakish as kol anisim. That's the case. You have to deny every nes. Neishu anisku. Because they're not according to the law of nature. Alright? Let's put it this way. When we say not according to the law of nature, we mean they aren't necessary according to the law of nature. Now, Oh, she accuses that. In other words, it doesn't follow from the given that this should occur.
Not possible.
Because we say God doesn't do the impossible. But we say it doesn't follow from the given that this should occur. Right? In other words, like given the water the way it is now, you will not have Kriyas Yam Suf. It doesn't say it's impossible for water to pile up. You know, because it could be another force that will put water to pile up. You understand that? All right. There's three things in the realm of the
very important. I understand that.
Three things. He says, that's one reason, he says, only, we just let the guy get finished with what he wants. I says, there's two reasons why you have to deny Chiyas HaMesim. One reason is because you say that God can't do a Nes. Then you deny all the Nesim. That's one reason, okay? There's another reason. He says, Oshi Yakish Hazeh denies it, Neshlo Niska Bakasa, because the Torah doesn't mention it. Velo Nemra Bohador Amitis, because you have no real proof. Kemoshi Nemra Benisim. Right? That's the second possibility. Two possibilities. Vine Kvar Bi'arnu, Shekein Nemru Ksuvim. Vafa Pishahim Ma'atim Hamor Malchazos HaMesim. He says, but I've shown you already there are psukim that say that there will be Chiyas HaMesim, even though there are few. But one good pasuk is all you need. Vim Yomar Adam, and if a person will say, Onu Nevayar, now. Vim Yomar Adam, but a person will say, Onu Nevayar Osa Mikhamikros, Kemosha Bi'arnu Zulasam. We will explain these psukim just like we explain other ones. No, in other words, that they're only metaphors. No malo, we will say to him, Ma mevias chalu biura. What causes you to explain them that way? Listen carefully what the Rambam says.
Excuse
me? No, unless God would tell you that it's going to happen, so say I have no basis to accept it. That's good. Nasty like this. So he says, but there are psukim that show that it will happen. But a person will say, so what? Psukim don't mean anything. I'll explain the psukim metaphorically. Derech Marshall. Right? So it says, then we say to him like this. He says, why do you have to explain these psukim metaphorically? In Yomar, if he says, Neshainosim HaMakros Torah Mimesed Dvar Matibiyim, if he's going to say, because these psukim are not in line with natural law, Namalo, Kach Tzorach Adelavar, Fichas HaMadol Antanim, you have to explain that to him if you read it from on. Umay Marasinai, Vamar Eshmanon, Kol Eil HaChayil HaTelavar, Kadesh HaTasim, Bekach HaSadvar Matibiyim. Right? Ukvar Bi'arnu B'morek, Asher Dibarno Al Chidush HaOlam, Ki ima deya bechidish ha'olam is chayev behechlet shiyu kol nisim afshoriyim. V'lefikach tiyah gam chiyas ha'meisim afshoris. He says because that's the whole question of chidish ha'olam. People don't understand why the Rambam rabbi, who came first? God came first. The world's eternal, you know? It's a matter of who came first. It's not a matter of who came first. We explained this one time in the other way around. That's right. It's a matter of once you say that there's something else eternal besides God, Then you deny Nishan. Then you have to deny Nishan. And if you say that God is first, then you don't deny Nishan.
Why is that?
Why? How does it work? A little tricky how it works. Remember?
Yeah.
That was last year, right?
Yeah. Because if you say that it exists forever, then what you're really saying is that that's their existence. That has necessary existence, so you can never change.
Very good explained. Yeah. Once you say that the world is eternal, the universe is eternal. What does it mean it's eternal? Those who say the universe is eternal do not say that the universe is eternal like God. It means like this. It's like the shadow that comes from a wall. The shadow isn't the wall, but the wall, once you have a wall and the sun is shining, you necessarily have the shadow. So therefore they say that the, what?
Wet
water. So therefore they say that the universe is a natural result of God's existence. So therefore they say Kadmus Olam. That's what they mean by Kadmus Olam. Kadmus Olam means it's a unified theory. It means that really the only thing that exists really is God. But because of his nature, the world also exists. You see? Now it doesn't mean the walk in first. No, it's the walk in first. It means that it's a natural result of God's nature. Like God is like the wall and the universe is like the shadow. You see? Now once that is so therefore everything in the universe is a necessary result of his essence, right? And just like his essence can't be changed, so therefore this can't be changed either. Because it's a necessary result of his essence. You understand?
No.
Chazal came another way. No. Why? Absolutely not. Chas v'shalom. That's impossible. I'll tell you why. Because according to that...
Why did you say Chazal came over there?
Understand the argument? If you say it's a result of his essence, so his essence can't change. His essence can't change, the results can never change. So you can never have any change in the universe. That was Aristotle's theory. But Yadis maintains it's not so. Mm-hmm. What does Yadis maintain? Do you understand how it works?
Yeah, I understand what
you're saying. Okay. It can't. That's Plato's theory. Plato's theory is.
He
theories. There are three theories. You have to understand the theories about Kadmas Olam is three possibilities. That's all there are. One possibility is that the universe, in with all its laws, is a natural result of God's essence. If that is the case, if that is so, so then just like his essence can't change, so therefore these laws of nature can't change. Just like in order for the shadow to change, you have to make a change in the wall. You have to make a hole in the wall. Make a hole in the wall, the shadow's going to have a hole in it too. But otherwise it will not change. So therefore there cannot be any miracles according to that theory. That's Aristotle's theory. According to Plato, it's like this. The substance is a natural result of his essence. You see? And the Ramban seems to hold away. Substance is a natural result of his essence. No, I'm sorry. The Ramban holds that forget the Ramban. Plato holds the substance is a natural result of his essence, but then God molded the substance. In other words, the laws of nature are not a result of God's essence. And Yadus maintains that the substance and the laws are not a result of his essence, but they're a result of his actions. His action. You understand? That's what Yadus maintains. Now, since it's a result of his action, just like he did it once, he can do it again. So a person who believes that God created the world and says there's no miracle is an idiot, because he maintains that God can produce something from nothing, and yet it can't make an accidental change in what is produced. Most people believe that way, because it's like too astonishing for them to view a change. You know, that's why they accept it. But that's really, intellectually, it's absurd.
Plato would accept the miracles.
Plato accepts miracles. The Rambam says he does not really care if you argue with Plato, but he says, if you accept Plato, rather. But he says he doesn't hold over. He certainly doesn't hold over. Okay. His essence dictates that a certain action should be done at a certain time, and another action done another time. So therefore, it's only the result of his action, but not his essence. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, his essence dictates that certain actions should be done at certain times. So therefore, his essence dictates that now the world should be created. His essence dictates that now a miracle should occur. That's all part of his essence. But it doesn't mean that there can't be any change. You understand? However, if you say it's a natural result of his essence, not his actions. The question is, when you say essence, we always use another word. Instead of essence, existence. In other words, if it's a natural result of God's existence, so then it's impossible to have any change.
What?
It's impossible to have any change, because it's a natural result of his existence.
That I understand. The other one.
No, the other one's very easy. In other words, his essence is rationality, right? Now, rationality dictates that he acts in certain ways, at certain times. So one time he creates the world, another time he destroys the world. Now, their existence means it cannot not exist.
It's part of its essence.
That's
part
of
it.
Its essence is existence.
Doesn't mean it has to
be. It wouldn't be what it is.
Right, that's right.
That's the difference. His action is only action
clear,
couldn't be.
The action is dictated by his essence. Any action occurs at a certain time. Even according to Aristotle, that the world exists eternally, it's different than God. I want you to understand that. Because God has to exist eternally, because inherently his nature is existence. But the world, It doesn't exist inherently because of his nature. It exists as a result of God's existence.
Right. There has to be a cause.
It's a different type of cause, though. Different type of cause. It's not a cause like the wall and the shadow. The shadow is caused by the wall, but it's a different type of cause. And according to Aristotle, God is the first cause also, but it's a different thing.
Different
He's the
cause.
Different type of cause. It's his existence. Causes the existence of the universe. Not that the universe inherently has to exist. The earth doesn't have to exist, but it must exist because of God's essence. Okay. Very simple, because they're often gracious. The Rabban only say that God does not change anything after gracious, but they're often gracious. Aristotle's theory is definitely today's world can't.
No, Rambam's also.
Why do Rambam's too?
Because, what are you
going to
say? Saying that at one time the world did exist?
No, he's saying that God produced the initial substance.
Right.
Matter.
What?
The initial matter was produced.
Right.
And then the matter was given form. First was Tov Avo, and then the matter was given form. All today's business says is that when you decompose it, you get back to Tov Avo. So we asked the person, let's get back to the point. The point is, when the person says maybe these psukkim, this is an important point, when the person says maybe these psukkim are really a mashal, so we ask him, why do you say these are a mashal more than any other psukim in the Torah that are a mashal? Yeah. Right? And we explained in the Mori, he says, when we spoke about the eternity of the universe, that with the concept of creation ex nihilo, definitely you must say that all the nisma possible for God to do. And therefore, Tchias Mesim is also possible. From nothing. Yeshmiyan. And whenever it's possible, if a Navi comes along and says that it's true, if we have the word of a Navi, so then we accept it.
One second.
That whenever it's possible, and the word of a Navi comes along and says that it's true, so then we accept it. And Bolav Hodas Navi Naminu, we accept it. Balonis Dakik Bola Biurim. Balonis Yumikshuta, we will not deny it, we will not take it out of a plain, out of its plain meaning, plain context. Nimna. The only thing we have to explain is something which is impossible. Kigon Gashmas Alaka, if you say God is physical. Avalaf Shari, Yeshua Kamoshu. So whatever is possible, whatever is possible will remain the way it is. The only reason he does this is because he said it's impossible. And the same thing applies to all the other nisim. So it all comes down. It all boils down to one reason why a guy denies tchis ha-mesim. Comes out if he denies tchis ha-mesim, he denies miracles. If he denies miracles, he denies Kadmas Olam, asked off from the eternal universe. And then he says, V'asherhein bedas Kadmas Olam. And anyone that believes in the eternal universe, Einum me'umas Moshe v'Avram klal, they are not a part of the Umma of Moshe v'Avram, the Moshe beyond the Memorial, like we've explained in Marnavuzim. Well, that's the end of it. That's it, great. Because it's really, it's an ideological parrot. I spoke about that one. Ophia Klaum Alelu. Honor Bedea Shetchias Amesim Kipshuta. And therefore we accept it plain, simple. The Kavanua Miyasoda Satora. And that's why I put it in place in the Satora, because it's based upon the idea, the negation of Kadmas Olam and the acceptance of Kadmas Akadosh Baruch Hu. Vamanu Shein Roy Levaras Mikros Hapshutim Hamorim Olao Roa Barura Sheinus Ovelas Bior. And we said that it's not fitting to interpret the plain psukim, which attest to it in a clear fashion, that does not submit to any interpretation. Okay, what's
he says over here,
the method is that whenever you see a pasuk, you always learn it pshuto kamashmal, unless you know it's impossible. It's impossible, so then you don't learn it pshuto kamashmal. Why should I do that though? You know, there's Spinoza's famous kasha over there. Spinoza's famous kasha. Because Spinoza is, the Rambam says in the Marnei Luchan, that if you would prove eternity of the universe, he says, then I would have to change the psukkim, just like I changed the psukkim in the other areas. So Spinoza said, if that's the case, you can't know anything from psukkim. Why? Because maybe I'll prove it to you. You don't know if I have a proof or not. Maybe I have a proof. If I have a proof, then the psukkim could have to be changed.
So you can have a rationality at all. You can have
a list of
rationality,
you can go
to the
other
two.
But the Rambam doesn't maintain that. The Rambam doesn't say you can't learn anything from psukkim. That's not true. I say the answer is like this. The answer is, and what does the Rambam mean over here?
What do you mean? Like funny.
Oh, no, because the question is, you can't know anything from psukkim, right? No, I didn't explain one point. The Rambam says, there's no way to prove Kadmas Olam. One of the purposes of writing the Marnei Luchan was to prove the existence of God. This is the main purpose of writing the Marnei Luchan. To prove the existence of God, even if you hold Kadmas Olam. That was the purpose of writing the Marnei Luchan. You understand? Now, he says there's no way to prove Kadmas Olam or Kadmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no real rational proof. So Aristotle tried to prove it, he couldn't prove it. Nobody could prove it. He says, but we accept Kadmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Psukkim. He says, however, if you prove to me the other way, he says, then I would deny Kadmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu or accept Kadmas Olam. So therefore, Spinoza asks Akasha, he says, what's the shot in the Rambam? He says, you can't know anything from Psukkim. Why? Why does he accept it? Because of Psukkim, right? But he says he has no proof, right? He has no proof either way, right? But maybe there is a proof. He doesn't know, right? So maybe there's really a proof the other way, and you have to interpret the Psukkim as a marshal. So what basically?
He's saying that...
thing over here. The answer is this Akasha, and what the Rambam is saying over here is one thing. See, there's a general rule in philosophy that you accept the theory which has the least resistance. You understand? That's why the Rambam says Aristotle accepted Kadmas Olam. Not because he proved it, but because it answered the most questions. Now, that answering the most questions does not necessarily mean it's always true, just like it's a probability. That the theory that accepts, rather, let's say you have 15 phenomena, rather than explain 5 one way, and then you have questions from all the other, all complicated theory, The probability is that one theory explains all phenomena. That's the correct theory. That's called Occam's razor. Now, right. So at any rate, so the thing is like this. So the Rambam simply does the same thing with Pesukim that we do with other phenomena. See, the truth of the matter is that Aristotle only had one area of knowledge at his disposal, namely the physical universe. But we, who are the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, we had another area of knowledge, namely the Torah. Torah is given on Sinai, so therefore we have two areas to use for knowledge. Now, therefore, the Rambam says like this, that Occam's razor will apply to the Torah as well. That since we see that the plain shot in the Torah, generally speaking, on the whole, the plain shot in the Torah, Pesukim is always a plain shot, simple shot, that there always is a literal meaning to the Pesukim, you see? So it's only if we're compelled to say otherwise that we assume that it's otherwise, like Yad Hashem, we know it has to be a metaphor, there's no other way, you see? But we do not take, it would be absurd to say, Vayom Hashem Lachram, that's only a mashal. Or to take any area the Torah says is a mashal. Because we know that the general principle is that there is a literal meaning to the Pasuk. You see? So therefore, philosophically, we have to accept the theory that it's literal. Unless you can prove otherwise, I say it's impossible. But otherwise, the probability is on the side of the literal. So therefore, Spinoza's kasha is not kasha. You understand what I mean?
All right.
That's what the Ram means over here. That's what the Ram means when he says that generally we say it's literal, unless proven otherwise. What kind of a theory is that? Why should you say generally we don't know? We say we don't know. Why does the Ram say, I don't know what the Tzvi is? Because I can't tell if it's literal or not. Why does he say we always assume that it's literal unless proven otherwise? The answer is very simple. The answer is because the theory of least resistance, which is like we see in all Pesukim, that there's literal meaning, right? As we know through the Masorah, there's a plain literal meaning. So unless we see otherwise, we always assume the theory of least resistance. Now over here, there's no resistance at all, because since we know that God can perform miracles, so why should we resist the plain shot in the Pesukim? The reason this is impossible, then Kadmus Olam, then he's an Apikaris.
Yeah.
Comes out if you deny Occam's razor, you're not precarious in this case. That's not the only reason to deny it. Why should a guy deny it? This is the theory of least resistance, so you should accept it, right? Huh, so you deny it because you say it's impossible. Then you're not precarious. That's right. His cash is the Rambam says whenever a Navi comes along, right? And he's whenever a Navi comes along and he says something, right? Says we do not know whether he's really a Navi or not, right? However, the Rambam says we do not know when another comes along. Perek Ches. Right. My mommy says like this. The only one that we know that was another absolutely is Moshe Rabbeinu. Anybody else we don't know. He says, Lefikach, Im Omad Hanavi Vasa Osa Samosim Gedolim. The person another comes along and does tremendous miracles. So we don't listen to him. Okay. He says, why? Because it's not Nevuas Moshe is in the corner, isn't Osus, so we weigh who's more probable. He says, but Moshe we know is true, and the other one is only probability. Since it's only probability, so we know he's wrong. Okay? It's like two Adam will say that 2 minutes ago you ran out the door. You know you didn't? Say, it's ridiculous.
How do you know it's true?
That's okay. My mind asking after a long talk about it. Okay. Nice, like this. Holomar Dova Doma. It's how, what is it like? Le'edim Sheheidu La'odam Aldova. It's Halacha Gimel. Aldova Shira Be'ena. She'ena Kamo Shira. Two witnesses come along and they say what you saw is not the way you saw. Shana Shamela, he doesn't listen to them. Eliade Bavada, Shane made a sheker. You know they're liars. Lafika, Amra Torah, Shimbaha, Osma Mofes. Oh, one second. Yeah, okay, that's the last part. I'm sorry. I went to the first part, then of Allah Bayes. He says, Nimtasomer, Shakol Novish Yamarachamosha Benu, ain't on a maminimbo. Every novice that comes after Moshe Benu, we don't believe him, Mithnea Os Lavado, because of the miracle alone. Kadesh Nomam Yasa Os Nishmalo, Lachom Ashiyomer. If he doesn't miracle, listen to everything he says. And he says if he gives a does a miracle, then you should listen to him. Just like you listen to Adam. You don't know whether they're telling the truth or not. Allah, you have to do right. You have to do what they say. Even though we don't know. All right. So what's the answer? So we have some good kasha. So why do we believe Tzvi Mason because of the Navi? But what the Navi says, we don't know whether it's true or not.
Yeah,
seems Ram says that's right. That answer was good over there. But here you see the Ram holds, it's not so. The Ram holds, we gave two answers at that time. One answer was you have to believe the possibility. Over here, Ram seems to say you have to believe it is so. Not
why?
Just the possibility. He doesn't say possible. He says definitely we accept the literal chat in the Pesukim. Okay? And secondly, I have another answer at that time. What was the answer? My answer was that it was through the Masorah, right? He doesn't mention the Masorah yet, so that answers that. Those two answers are no good. First one. Just a Smirnovi. Very vague, very vague. He doesn't mention the Masorah.
So
what's the answer?
What's the answer? There is an answer. What's the answer? The answer is Occam's razor. Exact same thing. In other words, when we say, let's say you have two Eidim that come to testify, it's true, the mitzvah is to listen to the Eid, correct? To listen to the two Eidim. After Drisha Hakira, the third Drisha Hakira. But certainly, you wouldn't say that the Torah said listen to two Eidim and there's no basis at all to listen to them. Right? You say the Torah said, get a crazy halacha, listen to two Eidim and there's no basis. Of course, once you have two Eidim and you have Drisha Hakira and you investigate, so rationality dictates that probably they're right. That there's a high degree of probability to what they're saying. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah,
of course, it's not proven 100%.
Right?
Ah, oh, okay. The same thing by the words of a Navi. When a Navi says something, so insofar as we are concerned, we have to accept what he says as a having a tremendous degree of probability. Right? Unless the same, for the same reason that we accept the plain shot in the pasuk also. For the exact same reason. So therefore, you have to accept Chesed Mason, insofar as you know. You see? Of course, if you have a disproof that it's impossible, then we'd say, of course, you can. You understand? So for the same, it's all one time in the Rambam. It's all one time in the Rambam. That Chiyas HaMeisim Min HaTorah means that insofar as it's the words of a Navi, and generally speaking, there's a high degree of probability to accept that the Navi's telling the truth. You see, he's not a liar. He's not, as far as we know, Navi, not anybody comes up and makes Kishra's Navi. Navi is a person who we know from Chachmei HaMaseira. Everyone in the room was on the Chachmei HaMaseira, who is a person, so far as we know, is a truthful person. Right? And he's a person who has proven himself through Osos. So therefore, on that basis, we must accept what he says. Of course, there's a chance, there's a way out chance that it's not true. Right? That's why if he denies Taurus Moshe, so we say, absolutely, he has to be a liar. Right? But until that point, a person will be absurd not to accept what he says is true. Right? Just like when you go to the doctor, you don't know whether maybe the guy's crazy, the guy's an imposter. You don't know. It's a possibility. That's right. It's just as certain as you have to listen to a medical authority. Same exact certainty. Can't know 100%, maybe the guy's total fraud. It's possible. But the point is that there's a tremendously high degree of probability you have to listen to him. That's the same exact thing. That's what the Rambam means here. That's the same, with the same amount, a person has to accept this message.
No more.
But mercy no more. Because now I'm saying 100% proof. No, but Occam's razor is just something which is a rational principle. He's not denying the rational principle. That's crazy. The guy's not denying. I mean, in his life he doesn't live according to the rational principle. The guy definitely has to live that way. Unless he's a sugar. Any normal guy has to accept that, right? Oh, so the reason why he denies it is because he holds it can't be true. You understand what I mean? But I would maintain, I wouldn't venture to say it outside of this room, but I would say it would appear from the Rambam that there's a difference between Maimon HaSinai and Chiyas HaMeisim. That Chiyas HaMeisim is accepted just like Al Pi Shnayim Eidim. You see, just like we accept, insofar as humanly possible, accept that what this person says is true, because all the investigations of the Novi have been made. He's a Chacham, he's a Tzaddik, as far as we know, he's a Nissen, everything indicates that the man is definitely a real Novi. So therefore, we have to accept him. You understand what I mean? But to say that we know with the same degree as with Maimon HaSinai, that I say no. Therefore, differentiate between the acceptance of Maimon HaSinai and the acceptance of Chiyas HaMeisim. He emphasizes, why is Kefir B'Chiyas HaMeisim bad? He says why. Not because this fact, he doesn't accept the fact, because the only possible motivation is that it's that he accepts Kadmas HaOlam. That's what he says. So I don't see why we can't say, or why we must say, that it's exactly like Maimon HaSinai. No reason to say it.
It's only different principles.
Mipi agvur amram, valolo moishi mipi atzmai amrei. What's the answer? No, the Gemara says, halolo mi moshe mipi atzmo amram. The first one, moshe mipi agvur amram. You said it in the name of God.
Moshe
both. And the one was mipi atzmo, one was mipi agvur. I argue, everybody, there's no one since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu that argue on this point, that the Torah is all mipi agvur. Nobody argues on that. The only question is, the Gemara is machlekes in the last day of Pesukim of the Torah. What's machlekes? The last day of Pesukim of the Torah was Yeshua, was my tough question. But the Kol HaTorah Kula, nobody argues.
He said it.
The Pshat, let's say, for instance, Avram Avinu, right? Let's say Avram Avinu told Avimelech, Avram Avinu told Avimelech that this is not my wife, it's my sister. Right? Okay. Now, did God come down and tell Avram to tell his mother? No, this was Avram being his own idea, right? Right? Okay. When, say, for instance, when Yosef spoke to his brothers, right? So what, God told Yosef what to say to his brothers? Right? Or Yaakov spoke to his children. God told him, everybody made the statement on their own free will, right? So why do we say to the text Torah, if they said it themselves, what's the answer?
God wrote it down.
Because when God gave the Torah to Moshe, he told him that this phrase that Yaakov Vinu said should be a part of Chas Tishal Torah. This phrase that Avram said at that time, for some reason, this should be a part of Chafetz Chol Torah. You understand? Oh, that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means like this: Halalu mipi agvura amram. The first klolos in the Torah, God dictated the klolos word for word. He told Moshe exactly what to say. Moshe, you tell them that this is what's going to happen, exactly, precisely like this. Every word was dictated by God. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't dictate a word. In the second group was Mishneh Torah. That was when Moshe was giving Klal Yisrael Musa. That was Mipi Atzmai Amram. It means that he said exactly the way he felt and what he thought, according to his own rationality and according to his own das. Then God said, now take what you just said and incorporate it and make it part of the Chafetz Chol Torah. Exactly right. But when we say that Klal Torah Kulo is Mipi Agvura, what does it mean Mipi Agvura? It means God initiated every word? That's nonsense. That means everything that says, anybody says something in Torah, God made him say it. That's crazy. The pshat is that they said it themselves, but God said, now this should be part of the Torah. That's the same thing with the Gemara. That's what the Gemara means there. Halalu mipi, Moshe mipi atzmai amrei. But the Gemara doesn't mean mipi atzmai amrei. That's not in the big word. The answer is very simple. That ordinarily you think mipi atzmai is an exclusion of the big word. That's not true. Not true. It could be mipi atzmai and the big word. Okay. With this, and with this you can answer a tremendous kasha. Tremendous kasha. Get me a chumash, voracious, with the Ebenezer. Listen to the pasuk. Vayavar Avram ba'aretz, ad mekayim Shechem, ad elayin mera. What's the end of the pasuk? Vaknani oz ba'aretz. Knani oz ba'aretz, okay? There's an unbelievable Ebenezer. Listen to the Ebenezer. The Ebenezer is this. Vaknani oz ba'aretz. Simple thing, right? Yitochein she'eretz kinan tofso kinan miyad acher. So yitochein, it makes sense that the land of Kinan took from somebody else. Ve'imeinenu kein, and if that's not the case, yesh lo sod, there's a sod here, v'hamaskil yidom, and he who understands should keep quiet. The pasuk says Kinani wasn't in the land at that time, right? It says, what time was it? It was after when by Lech Lecha. That's what like I got all for. So Vayava Avram Boris Ad Mekom Shched Ad Elon Mora, right? Vaknani Oz Boris. That was in Israel, and the Kananim was then in Eretz Israel. So he says the first pshat is Yitochin Sheretz Kanan Tafsa Kanan Miyad Acher. That's one pshat.
Which would give the Jews the right to take
him. What? No. What? You have to know what's bothering him. V'nimtzasim Kanter Seinu Eino Ela Aloif in the Chachma. So if that's the case, since it's all Mipi HaGvura, so the question therefore logically is why God mentioned about Olam Haba, but he didn't mention about Tchias HaMesim. As a matter of fact, the Ramban really asks the kasha why Olam Haba itself is mentioned in Torah Avalei. And the Ram assumes that it is. V'atam lakach, the reason for this follows. Shizu Tchias HaMesim Einu El Al Derech HaNeis, K'ma Shebi'anu. The Tchias HaMesim is only on, it's only something which caused by Neis. V'amuna b'mashe zed darkoi. It is, it says, only on Derech HaNeis. All Neis. V'amuna b'mashe zed darkoi. Anything that has this nature can only come through a Navi. And all the people in that time were tzavas, like means like a goyim, like goyim. It's a term. It's a tzavah. I didn't translate the word. It's an Arabic term. Couldn't find a translation. So from Kadmas Olam, they believed in Kadmas Olam. Kadmas Olam is the term of the universe. Because they believe that God is the essence of the universe in a way that he explains in the Mara. And they denied and they denied that there is that there could ever be nevuah from God to man. And therefore, according to their knowledge, they must say to deny all the nisim. And therefore, they say it's nothing more than magic. Okay, now it's Elias. Why is that so? Why is it if you believe in Kadmas Olam, then you have to deny Nevoah? You understand? Well, that we have to understand. Ram says if you believe in Kadmas Olam, eternal universe, you must. Eternal universe. Then you have to deny Nevoah.
Why do you deny Nevoah?
You have to categorically deny Nevoah. Why? Deny Nevoah per se. Nevoah itself you have to deny. What's the answer? What? Exactly. Because why do they accept, the ones who accept the theory of the eternal universe, why do they accept? Well, not because they want to believe the universe is eternal, but because the principle they believe in is this, they unify. It's a unified theory that everything results from God and there's never any change at all vis-a-vis God. So when we say there's no change vis-a-vis God, it means that there's no such thing as God's actions. You understand what I mean? That's why they say it's impossible to say that God at a certain time created the world. Why? Because this would mean a change in him. It's a big problem. Tremendous problem is why they accept the eternal universe. Not a small thing. And that's why they say that God could never at one time create the universe. Because they say an action on the part of God is impossible.
But they're saying
the same
thing of your point. Huh? Yes, big problem. One of the biggest problems in philosophy. That's a tremendous problem. But Yadis maintains that that's not so. That regardless of that, it's not true. Regardless of that, that's the Raman Ruchim, what the answer to the problems are, whether there are, whether man can understand the answers, they're not an open problem. But the fact remains, according to Yadis, that we do believe there's such things as an action of God. Now, what is Nevuah? Nevuah means two things. There's two types of Nevuah. When Nevuah doesn't mean, one part of Nevuah means a person's very high level, so then he could, he communicates with God naturally. That's not against the eternal universe, that's a natural phenomenon. But Nevuah, which we believe in, means that God at a certain point, because of certain reasons, does a certain action to Moshe and tells Moshe, now take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. This is not a natural thing, it's an action on the part of God. That's Nevuah, because it means that God decides at a certain time. Right. And therefore, for the same reason that you reject the first time it means, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about Shlichus. When he says Nevuah, he means Shlichus, that a person at a specific time is designated by a specific shlichus, he must do this action. He must go by Yena, go Leichal Ninveh. All of a sudden, that means that God commands him to do this action at a certain time. You understand? Which means it's an action on the part of God, which denotes change. But they say it's impossible. They say that nothing ever changes. That's why they have to deny Nevuah. All right. It means before he has the potential to do something, now he actually does it. In other words, like a person has the potential to drink the water. Yeah, but not only that, but it means that. Because then his state is changing. That at one time he only had a potential. So it's an imperfection. It's an imperfection because potentiality. Because it comes out that a certain state affects him in a way that causes a change. So therefore, in other words, I guess. That's a tremendous question. Because it means something external affects him. That because this man does this and this, so this one and the four comes, right? Because Ninveh, right. So it means something is affecting him, affecting changing him. Now this kasha, so the Rambam and the Maharal is very hard to explain. Yadis maintains that we don't that the fact is so. The fact is so, regardless whether we understand it superficially or not. You know, superficial investigation isn't going to decide whether it's so or not. There are things in physics that man can't understand today that are incomprehensible, that are outside the realm of human knowledge, I mean, almost. So this certainly is not an easy thing. It's not a simple thing. You have to know. It's a big problem.
He says like this. Okay. Naturally, yes.
And therefore you see them. You take a look at them. Heyach amru mispalim. How they said with such astonishment. Hayom azeh re'inu ki dabar l'kimnes adam v'chol. They said. Hayom azeh re'inu ki dabar l'kimnes adam v'chol. Mashma, what does it mean? Hayom azeh re'inu ki dabar l'kimnes adam v'chol. What? That we didn't die. What does it mean? Mashma ki nevuah l'daitam hayo b'suga nimna. So you see, according to them, nevuah was impossible. Kain, heyach lehodiyah l'mishalon es amso eklo nevuah. How is it possible to tell somebody who doesn't believe in Nevuah? Yidiyah she'ino lo raya ki im hamaras hanavi. How can you tell them a fact which you have no proof for except from the Navi? In other words, a person who does not believe in Nevuah, you can't tell him something that's based upon Nevuah because he doesn't accept Nevuah. Not only that, but it's according to them, it's impossible. If it wasn't for the fact that we believe in Nisim, Tchias HaMesim would be impossible because it's a Nes. When God wanted to give Torah to the Jews, in order to demonstrate in front of the entire nation, entire world, that there is such thing as a Nes. Right? And to demonstrate the whole, what does the Nisim show? Nisim shows Chiddush Olam, right? Nisim shows Chiddush Olam. Ki amofes hamiti hachach achleitas al Chiddush Olam, hachach achleitas al Chiddush Olam k'mosh b'yana. Because the true miracle is a decisive proof for the fact that there is such thing as Chiddush Olam. All right, Chiddush Olam means that God, that there was an action by God that created the world. By the way, the whole problem today is in physics we know is resolved, because the whole question was, is the universe eternal or not? And according to modern physics, we know definitely that that it's not eternal. That theory is gone, because all energy is very active right now. It's very busy in dispersing itself. You understand? So therefore, Mishnah is listening. So therefore, there's no question anymore. The Rambam's the whole Aristotle's view today. Aristotle's view today is absolutely disproven. The Chiddush Olam is definitely today, without a problem. Rambam had big problems because he couldn't prove it. He didn't have enough physics. But according to today's physics, there's no question about it. That's impossible. Never lost, but it's dispersed. The sun is losing energy. Everything's losing energy. So eventually, what happens is that all the energy is dispersed in an even way throughout the universe. Entropy is called. So therefore, it's impossible that the universe is eternal. Why? Because if it was eternal, it would have already been in that state now. So there must have been a certain time that it all began. You understand what I mean? And before he taught them even the open things which are natural, for instance Hasharas HaNefesh, right, which he taught in the Torah, Bikaris Bikaris and Laman Yerichon Yimechal Olam Shekul Aruch, before Moshe Rabbeinu got finished teaching them those simple things which are based upon knowledge, he certainly couldn't teach them things which are based upon Nevuah. Taught them that, but even that he had difficulty with, because you see it's not openly Mefurish. That also apparently the Rambam says that why is not Lahaba opening the Torah? Because apparently the emphasis in the Torah for the Hamon was the immediate Anish. But for the ones who are a little more intelligent, is able to explain Asharas HaNefesh. Right. Okay. After many generations, then he says, "V'lo nisha suffik b'nefuah sanavim," and there was no more suffik in the nefuah sanavim. Lo b'chidush amosim. Then they could accept it. You see, God did this once before, the same way. Why? Why didn't God take them to the land of Plishtim? Right? Right? He says, just like you see there, he was afraid that they're going to see a battle, they're going to go back to Mitzrayim. So apparently they weren't really ready at that point to accept certain things, even in regard to their own freedom, physical things. So you see they were weak people and they were afraid they're going to go back. So that's why God couldn't take them in one direction, after another way. So certainly over here he couldn't do it because they weren't ready for it. Vamanig vamadreg osam echad. Okay. So how's it possible also in Deos, just like over there you have to go step by step. So there also you have to go step by step. Yeah. So therefore you can't tell them something which they can't accept yet, you understand? Which is based upon something that they can't accept. But what I'm saying is like this. That you understand what's Ram saying? The question is, but you see they sort of already, right? So why couldn't they? Listen to this. The Adur Ram says, "Ki osam ha'nashim asheratz Hashem v'galas hazatar." Anything couldn't really comprehend. You see? Okay, that's what the Ram says. So if you do a failed, this would have been impossible for them to accept, and they would have stepped back very much from this idea. And even then they won't even accept the mitzvahs. They'll even be careless of the veras. Kivin shon shaleim l'zman rochog, because the onesh is far away. It's a long time away. L'fikach hefchidam ve'iyem aleim b'dvarim sh'niskablo al daitem v'shem la'alta. That's why God immediately told them, impressed upon them in the Torah. The essence is that if you do something bad, immediately you're going to get retribution. Why didn't he say exclusively olam haba? Because then they would never accept it. You understand? Because their acceptance of this is very easy and very beneficial. The Gamze Tawalas Gedol is also a very beneficial thing. And this is also a very good thing, that they should know that listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them in this world, and not listening to him is bad for them in this world. Why? Because you have to have some way to reach them first until you get them trained. Then you can tell them the real reason. In other words, what the Ram is saying over here is just what he says in the Nugat Olam Haba. That just like you train the kid first, and you tell him to give him the lollipop. So he says, therefore, he had to give him the lollipop first. That's what he says. Okay, Kfar Hiski B'Torah, Shezem Mofes Tamidi L'Doros, that this will always be a miracle for Doros. Kloma, Tekinus Hamatzov Mima Meshmas Vefseda Mima Meri, that this will always be in Klal Yisrael, that if they abide by the Torah, then they'll get Tzchak, and if not, they will get Einish. Amar Vayu B'Chal Lo'isul Mofes V'Zar Chalelam, says in the Klal like that, that this will always be an Osin Mofes. Well, the chomer ain't mazal Yisrael. That's what it means. There's no mazal Yisrael. What does it mean? There's no mazal Yisrael. It means that it's not. It doesn't go. There's no such thing as law of chance in regard to Klal Yisrael. Why? Because it all depends upon whether they live correctly or incorrectly. Klama sheashram v'rosam einam b'sibat tivis v'lo k'fino agamatzias. But that their success and their failure is not according to the natural law. You understand? But it's elatolib mishmasa b'meri. It's dependent upon whether they listen or whether they rebel. The Zel is Godel Nikolas, and this is the greatest of all miracles. It was the history of Klal Yisrael. Okay. Kvabiru kize biyachas leklal biyachas lechol pratu prat. This is some regard to the klal, and it's some regard to every individual. Kefish nearly ma'osa ma'isa v'umasim le'omro uvezaracha ad olam. When a ma'am afusim bo'um a ra'a them yisurin b'ainalav, yifashrif ma'am. Okay, this is the biggest miracle of all. That if you study the history of Klal Yisrael, you'll find that the success and the failure is totally dependent upon whether they accept the Torah or they don't accept the Torah. Okay, that's the Rambam. So, I have two kashas. After Asina, what's the answer? The answer from the Rambam, what the Rambam writes over here, seems to be as follows. It seems to say like this. You see, there's two things. There is a person who is on an intellectual level, and then there's a person who is on an emotional level. Person on an intellectual level, the first time he hears something, he changes immediately. If you show him a proof that something is so, immediately he'll accept it. And his whole, overhaul his whole emotional system in 5 minutes. That's an intellectual person. A chacham. I don't mean intellectual in the world. I mean a chacham. A chacham is a person who, when he sees the truth, immediately overhauls his whole, all his emotions are guided by chachma. So when he sees the truth, so the emotions follow naturally. Most people aren't the way. Most people, the emotions are separate from the chachma. And the chachma has a very small impression, influence on the emotions. And it takes a lot of time. So therefore, what the Rambam says is like this, that in the Dor HaMidbar, the people in Dor HaMidbar were on an emotional level. So what does it mean? It means that it took a long time for their emotions to catch up to their intellect. So even though they saw Maamar HaSinai, they saw everything, but still emotionally they didn't change. It took them 40 years in the desert until they changed emotionally. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam says. Therefore, it says at that time they weren't ready to accept the message. It would be too much for them to accept. Oh, it's too astounding. Wow. Once emotionally they accept Nevuah, then you can tell them another thing. But if before it's emotionally accepted, so then you're going to tell them another thing that's so astounding, that's hard to understand, Yes, you know what I mean? Then they'll simply rebel against everything. You understand what I mean? A person who is a chacham, it's true. You get to once see the world, you have to accept this. What's the difference? God created. Why is it that people could accept that God created the world, but any change they see, they can't accept the miracle? If you can create the whole world, it certainly can make a change. Right? A little change is easier than to create the whole thing. But people today believe that way. Why? They accept the God created, but now there's no change. Why? Because it's all emotions. They're not used to seeing changes. A person lived for 40 years, they didn't see a change. How long is 40 years? Nothing. But he never saw change. He's not used to it. So emotionally bothers him. So therefore he says there can't be any change. You understand what I mean?
Right.
If you'd be able to see the world in terms of thousands of years, then it'll be different. But he can't. He only sees a little thing there. He thinks in terms of his own emotions. That's what the Rambam says. So therefore, if you're going to tell a person that it hasn't yet, his emotions haven't caught up to him yet, then you're going to tell him something astounding. He'll go away for say he's crazy altogether. You see? In other words, his emotions hasn't caught up to his intellect. Because intellectually he sees that there's such a thing as the world, but emotionally he didn't accept it. You understand? Yeah, but the people of Vardar can accept it for a simple reason, because you raised it. And once you raised with Tayag Mitzvah already, so then your emotions already, you already accepted it from birth. You understand what I mean? From childhood. You see, it all depends, emotions depend upon the way you're raised. Once in a while you see a person that was raised in a different environment and he sees Yisrael. He sees Chachmas HaTorah, he sees, completely forgets about everything. That's an unusual person. The average person is on that level. The average person, the way he was raised, condition responses. Raised this way, reacts this way. Something that sounds far-fetched, you can't accept the person is emotional.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Not only emotional people, even in the world of science, you find. When Einstein came with his theory, everybody was laughing at him. Why? It's too unusual. Can't be there. After a while, Russell says, Bert Russell says, the hardest and difficulty in understanding Einstein's theory is that you're used to thinking a certain way and you can't change your way of thinking. It's not a matter. He says if you'd raise a kid, according to Einstein, would raise a kid, he said, you understand it like this. But you can't change the old way, the way you're raised. Most people can't do that. It's an emotional thing. But once you, if you would take a person 200 years ago and you'd show him on a movie film what the world looks like today, you know, with planes and trains and things, guy would say, it's impossible. Why? Why would he say it's impossible? Because he's not used to such things. He's riding a horse, he has a little wagon, he can't imagine. It sounds like a fantasy, it sounds like a fiction. You understand what I mean? But a person is a chacham, they'd say, 1 second, what does it require to make that change, if you understand? And explain to them, say, yeah, possible. Why not? A person who is emotional only accepts that which he's used to. That's what the Rambam says. Now, the psukim in Yeshayo, I don't know. The Rambam doesn't know whether those psukim are. This could be Yeshayo, I don't know. But one Nevi'im, whatever it is, Nevi'im, whichever one it was. One of the Nevi'im, okay? Took us so long. Now, there's one question, though. This goes against the very famous Chazal. Chazal said that the Dor HaMidbar is a Dor Deah. Tremendously high madrega. The Gemara says, Masha Ra Shifcha Layam Le'ro Yecheskel Bambuzi Mi'amav. Okay? So says Dor Deah. Dor Deah means that a Dor Deah means a whole door of knowledge, knowledgeable people. Saka the Ram says, according to the Ram, they're just emotional people. Just emotional people. Ram himself accepts it. You have the Ram and Navas? The Ram and Navas. The Ram and Navas are. The Ram says that the door of Moshe was a door that even the smallest one of them were like Nevi'im. Ram says, yeah, Ram says. It's Ram. It says, Vahu? It says, I will be inyan marisan pihu kamosha vaya. Vahu shloya medabrim scholem. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't speaking to fools. Velo imimi she'ein lo maila. And that with people who don't have any perfection. Avoleman noshim shehaktanop shebeneshehim. The smallest one of their women. Hoysak yecheskel bambuzi kamosha zachor chachomim. Not just the Chazal. If it's Chazal, said Rambam learns them from Chazal. Rambam himself says it right over here. There's another Rambam in the Mar Nevuchim also that corroborates the Rambam and the Igris. Because the Rambam and the Mar says that why do they have to have kabbalas? Rambam says the same reason, because they were used to the Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah mentality. You know what? It's a Cheskel. It's a Cheskel Surah Ma'aseh Merkava. I would say there's two groups there. That there was the group, the Hamon, and then there was the intellectuals. You understand what I mean? That would be very good. So the Rambam, when he writes about it, in the Torah, it works out openly, so it would only dealt with the Hamon. The only problem is the way the Rambam words it over here. He says, even the smallest, afilu ha-ketana shebeneshe'em, chaya ke'cheskel b'mbuzi. Rabbi Shai, yeah, I'll tell you what it is. I say it like this. I say the purpose of a shiur, the purpose of any shiur, is really to get together to investigate on the truth problem. Yisrael Chaim, they say Chaim never felt bad when they met her. Because the enjoyment is to investigate the question. And that's why I feel like that. I say that we end the year with a kasha. Why? Because rather than to satisfy the emotion of being an answer, being a crazy answer, the real emotion that we should search for is the emotion of the truth. If the answer is not 100%, if you sense that your emotion is pushing in an answer, then I say that better remain with a kasha. One principle I say is like this, you know? Reb Chaim had a principle that when he went through a sugya, and if he saw all the Rashbas went one way, and then he found one Rashba that was against it, so Reb Chaim would do it like this. He would throw away the Rashba that went against the sugyas. And he'd say, that Rashba I don't understand. But all the other Rashbas, which make sense, I accept. So, therefore I would say as follows. You want to know the Rambam in the Maran Avuchim, and the Rambam in the Igres, coincide. And the psukim, the way he interprets all the psukim in the Torah, and the pshuta kemashmoy of all the psukim in the Torah, definitely coincide with Rambam the Igris and Rambam the Maran Avuchim. The question is the formulation of the Rambam in the Shemana Prakam. What exactly he means? If you look at the psukim, however, it would appear, I believe, the answer is that there was two classes. There's the Ziknei Yisrael, because you see when Moshe Rabbeinu went in the beginning in Shemais, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu. He says Moshe Rabbeinu asked them what is his name? What should I say? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Ekya Asher Ekya. So the Rambam goes at length what it means. No, it's Shem Hashem. One Hashem is Gemara Shua says. So therefore, you see from the Pesukim one thing. The Rambam says that the Ekya Asher Ekya is a tremendous concept in the existence of God. God's nature of God's existence. Then he gave him Isis and Mifsim. And the Pasuk says that he spoke by Yadabar al Ziknei Yisrael, the Shem Hashem he told to the Ziknei Yisrael, which means he explained to them the idea of God's existence, and Vayas ha'oseis la'enei ha'am. That's what it says. So the Pshuta Kamashmoy was, from the Psukim, that there were two classes, there were two groups. There were the Ziknei Yisrael who really were Chachamim, and then there was no problem with. And then there was the Hamaon. The Hamaon, you see. So that's why both are true, really. Both are true. What? What happens to what? The only question is the way the Rambam formulates it over here. Ketan Hashem and Hashem. I say that Rambam is the difficult one. This Rambam is the difficult one. But which way we should accept insofar as Dar Deya, I would say that this Rambam will remain unintelligible. I would leave this Rambam unintelligible. And rather the Pshuta Kamashmoy of all the Psukim and the Rambam and the Mar and the Rambam and the Igres. I mean, it would appear that the Kasha is what the Rambam means at Ketan Hashem and Hashem.
Return cycle,
yeah. Possible, highly improbable, but it's possible.
What do you mean?
All the food system might have done that. Higher than probable, I want to do it.
Oh,
it's possible. It's possible. It's theoretically possible. Because it's all dispersed in the atmosphere. It's possible to be
to be
reorganized.
Elements and rearrange it. It doesn't have to be the same, right?
Other people made another error in what we said. At the end of a chibur, when we said like this, we said you shouldn't think that the Melech Mashiach is going to make Isis and Mifsim, and is going to machadish new things in the world, or be Machayim Mason. And we brought a proof to that, like we explained over there, that the Melech HaMashiach does not do anything miraculous. This is the Rambam says. The Rambam's right was from Bar Kochba. Because Rabbi Akiva and Chachmei Derech thought that Bar Kochba was Mashiach, and Bar Kochba never did anything miraculous to prove there was Mashiach. So you see that Mashiach, according to Chazal, has nothing to do with doing miraculous actions. Okay, now it's the Echot Chalushe Baal HaYoyin. And one of the weak-minded investigators thought that this is a kosher, this is a contradiction to Tchias HaMeisim. And that it contradicts what we explained in the Pirush Mishnayos, that Tchias HaMeisim is one of the Ikrim, one of the fundamental principles of Yadus. And all this is very, really all this is very simple. There's no contradiction here. You had a contradiction here? Don't you yikra ayam or yichayim mesim al derech hamayfes? If you shein the tzarich lasses mayfes, shekivon kivon shekar tichu bayanvim arushenim ashen es am son of uasam. What does it say? No, this is what we say like this. We say that the Melech HaMashiach does not require, we don't demand any miracle from him. Why? Why? Because he doesn't have to do any miracle. Because the Nevi'im already forecast his appearance. And the Nevi'ah was already proven true. What does it mean? Yeah, the Nevi'im, if he means miracles to prove he's Mashiach. Nevi'im Rishonim didn't say who. What did they say? What type of nose he has? I don't know who it is. There are certain halachas that pertain to the Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is a halachic entity. It's an entity, Melech HaMashiach. He has an identity according to halacha. He's defined and he's known as the Melech HaMashiach. How is he known as the Melech HaMashiach? So the Rambam says already. Rambam says like this. Rambam is in the Perek Yud Aleph from Hilchas Melacha. Vim yamayid melech mi beis David, hayige b'terev v'aisek b'mitzvus, k'dovid aviv. And if there should arise a king from beis David, who learns Torah and aisek b'mitzvus, keeps the mitzvahs like his forefather David, k'fi terev shebiksav v'shebal peh, v'yachuf kol Yisrael leilach bo lechazek b'dasa, and he coerces. Well, it means persuades. Persuades the Jews to follow the das of
all Jews.
Most of the Jews to follow the das of the Torah, the Lachem Milchama is Hashem, and he fights the battles against the enemies of the Jews. Hareze becheskas shu Mashiach. Then he has a chazaka that is Mashiach. Im asav etzliach, if he did so and he was matzliach, he was successful. Ubana migdash ben kaimai, and he built the base of migdash. The key base nilchei Yisrael, he gathered the nilchei Yisrael. Harezim Mashiach bevadai. Then we know for sure that he is Mashiach. V'yisakin esolam kulavas Hashem beyachad. Okay. So what does it mean? There's a cheskas Mashiach, and then there's a vada Mashiach. Right. So what does it mean? It means that Mashiach is a halachic entity. There's a halachic entity of Melech Mashiach. There are certain halachas to Melech Mashiach. For instance, the Melech Mashiach will be miyaches. All the shul will tell the yichus of every Jew. Yisachsu kol ma'piv baruch hakodesh akinuach alav. See? There are certain halachas that the Melech HaMashiach will do. That through ruach hakodesh will be miyaches the Jews according to their shvatim. Not anybody could do this. The only one who could do it is Melech HaMashiach. You understand? So you see, Melech HaMashiach is an entity, not just a He's anybody. He's defined. He has a halachic validity as a Melech HaMashiach, just like a Kohen Gadol is an entity. Kohen Gadol is an entity, and Melech is an entity, and Melech HaMashiach is a separate halachic entity. What the Rambam means here is very simple. The Rambam means like this: if the Nevi'im Rishonim would never have predicted, never have forecast that there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach, then if somebody would come and say he's Mashiach, so what would he have to do? He has to bring an ice in the Mayfes to prove that he's a Navi first. And then say, the Dvar Hashem was to me that there will be a Melech HaMashiach, and I am the Melech HaMashiach. You see? Right. Exactly. To say there's such a thing. Because the only way he could say there's such a thing would be through Nevuah. Through Nevuah. He'd say, now I have the Dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem says he's supposed to listen to me now. I'm the Melech HaMashiach, and I'm supposed to do such and such. But since this was already predicted beforehand, so the entity of Melech HaMashiach was established before through Nevi'im. You see? It's not necessary to establish a Melech HaMashiach. The only question is who he is. So who he is already defined through Nevi'im, what he has to do and what he's supposed to do in order to be defined as Melech HaMashiach. You understand? There's no need for a Mayfes. You see? If, in other words, like this, if there was no such thing as Melech HaMashiach beforehand, so then you'd have to have a Navi come and tell you, the Dvar Hashem just came to me now and said there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach, and I am the one. But it's not so, you don't need it anymore. Why don't you need it? Because the Nevi'im already defined Melech HaMashiach. They defined him completely. They said what a Melech HaMashiach is, and they said who is Becheskas Melech HaMashiach, and who is Vale Melech HaMashiach. So what does he have to do? All he has to do is fulfill the requirements. It was already established through previous Nevuah. However, if it wasn't established, if there never was a previous nevuah, so then what would he have to do? He would, if the previous nevuah was lacking, if the previous nevuah was lacking in any way, for instance, if the previous nevuah didn't say there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach, right? Or the previous nevuah didn't say how we know there's a Melech HaMashiach, who is the Melech HaMashiach? Then you'd have to have a new nevuah, a new my face to prove it. But there's no necessity to prove the Melech HaMashiach. Why? Because the previous nevuah already completed itself. It says there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach and tells you how you know he is a Mashiach. It's only necessary to prove a new Dvar Hashem. To prove a new Dvar Hashem, you need a Mayface. Right?
It always works?
What? Mayface? The Tzaram says, if a Navi person comes along and claims to be a Navi and he gives a Mayface, so then you have to listen to him. Elof Tishma. No. Because the Pasuk says it could be, because Mayface is not 100%. Mayface is not 100%. That's what the Ram says. Mayface could be a fraud. Could be a fraud, it's possible it's a mistake. Possible it's a fraud. But the halach is you must listen to him. Just like Aiden could also be lying. Could be very ingenious Aiden, could be lying, but you have to listen to the Aiden. You understand? So you have to listen to the Navi because of the Mayface. However, if he tells you to go against the Torah, then you know he's wrong. You don't have to wait to disprove it. You know right away it's wrong. It's just like Aiden come along and they say to Besdin that Reuven over here just killed somebody outside in the street, and Besdin saw him sitting over here. They have to wait for Akasha for the Eidos. They know the Eidos are lying. They have to go investigate and interrogate. Over here too. If the Navi says something against the Torah, there's no need to wait anymore for the to prove that he's false. You know right away it's false. That's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that if the Navi comes and gives him my face, and the my face comes true, and he tells you to go against the Torah, so it says you shouldn't listen to this Navi, but you should kill him. What's the Navi Shekel? What does it mean? What's the Pshat in the Pasuk? Pshat is very simple. My face isn't 100%. It's just the basis. So the halacha is supposed to listen to him.
Why do you follow that?
That's the halacha. What?
Why do you follow that?
I follow ever? Because just like you follow Adam, Hazaka. Just like you follow Adam. Do you really know when Adam said that somebody is a murderer? Do you really know he's a murderer? Be very smart, Adam. Put together, worked on it for years, had to frame a guy. Gemara's cases where people were framed. So it's possible. But the halacha is you have to be chaytech din according to Adam. Same thing over here. Navi also, you never know 100%. But the only thing is that it's Elof Tishman as a basis. You have to follow him. But let's say you know he's a liar. So then, of course, you don't follow him. Once he says to go against the Torah, you know he's a liar. It's impossible he should be telling the truth. I'm just saying one thing. The Rambam is saying like this. That there's two things in Melech HaMashiach. That there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach. The halachas that pertain to him. And then who he is. So if there was no previous nevuah that covered these facts, so you'd have to have a new Mayface because it would be a new nevuah telling you a new Dvar Hashem. But the Ram says all this was completed in the past because the Navi already said there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach, and he already told you what the Cheskas Melech HaMashiach is and Vade Mashiach is, right? You understand what I mean? Bar Kochva was Becheskas Mashiach. Cheskas Mashiach. That's what it means. They thought he was Mashiach because he had all the signs of Cheskas Mashiach. But he wasn't Vade Mashiach because they saw he didn't accomplish, he wasn't successful. You understand? So we know already what a Melech HaMashiach is. There's no need for any new Mayface. What do you need new Mayface for? You understand what I mean? That's what the Ram says.
So that's why he can't be involved
in Pesach. Right, the Pasuk says about the Gar Ze'ev and Keves in Yeshayahu, the Pasuk says, Lo Yoreyu V'lo Yashchisu B'chol Har Kodshi. They will not do any evil, any harm, and not do any destruction in all my holy mountain. Kimol Lohoretz, these animals. Kimol Lohoretz Deyos Hashem. Why, he says, why won't they not do any damage, these animals? Because the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. So the Ram says, Hinei Nasan Hatam. Shehem Ozlo Yoreh Le Yashchisu. He says, it gives the reason. Why won't they do any harm? Because, Lefi Shehem Yodos Hashem. Right? So it says, Gar Zeven Keres V'Nomem Gedi Yirbots V'Arye Kabaka Yechol Tevin Le Yoreh Le Yashchisu B'chol HaKashi Ki Molach Olor Zdeyas Hashem Kamayim Le Yamachasim. Oh. So it says, Habitu no makhelois b'nei adam. Take a look. He's referring to the reader, makhelois b'nei adam, people. Hayesh lo seichel shebo yeho arye mitzuva u'bizmanenu ze mamre u'lefikach u'teref. Does the lion have a sense, have knowledge, that in those days, in the future, he will receive a commandment not to eat animals, but now he's being rebellious and therefore he eats animal and therefore he eats other living beings?
V'oz yoshev v'yed asbara, and then the lion's going to have knowledge of God, knowledge of his creator, kefi sheroi, like he's supposed to. V'sha'asol elava, and he's not allowed to violate the law, and therefore he's going to go and he's going to eat straw. Does that make sense? Absurd. Absurd. What? Yeah, saying that the lion has intelligence, and really the lion is doing evil now, but later he'll become an enlightened lion. And he'll realize that he's not supposed to eat he's not supposed to eat animals. And therefore he'll go and eat straw. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anybody thinks that is something lacking any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Hey, what? Hey of Leshisa Bukhala Kachi, because now there's gonna be new sechel, a new empty sechel. This Kimalachalar is Deyas Hashem. What does it mean? Kimalachalar is Deyas Hashem means that people that the those individuals who have seichel will be filled with knowledge. Doesn't mean it's going to be a new seichel. Doesn't mean a new seichel. Means they'll have knowledge. Now they don't have knowledge, and then they will have knowledge. Doesn't mean they're going to have different minds. You say, Kimalach alar et seichel. Kimalach alar et deyas et Hashem. They'll have knowledge. Nothing new.
The leper would be included in those.
It's crazy, because his...
they don't have a seichel.
Of course. And the fact that they... And the fact that they... The fact that they do it now is not because of a lack of seichel.
That's the fact.
It's the teva, it's a lack of sechel. What, there's something nonsensical about what he does? It's crazy. Why, it's, you mean if the lion had knowledge, he wouldn't eat another animal. There's nothing to do with it. There's no knowledge. In this kind of mashinemar, tehi lochem chazay sakol kedivrei sefer achosim. So unfortunately, the nevuah of Yeshayo came true, which is that everything, that one of the clauses is that everything will be, this pasuk you say about today's door. Utehi lochem chazay sakol, everything that you see will be kedivrei hasefer achosim, will be like a closed book. The time in Yahadus that everything, the simplest, the clearest ideas that Yahadus has expounded, will be like a closed book, and people will not be able to see it.
Like today's door.
Today's door. Are you kidding? In by ma'uma, you must be shechem ma'uma mishim yisay the brachos, because the Rambam says, explained already from Maamar Chazal, there's no difference. And you should know, and those things that we say, all these things that we say, that they're only a mashal. Now listen carefully what he says. We haven't really, it's not really conclusive what we're saying, that it's only a mashal. And it sounds like he's retracting. Now listen carefully. Because we never had any nevuah to teach us. Mashal, tell us it's a mashal. We never found any Maseris from the Nevi'im straight down to us to tell us that all these things are Mashal. But what caused us to say that it's a Mashal? He says, what brought us to think that it's a Mashal? Inyan Sha'avarullah. Some Inyan, which I will now explain to you. Vuhu. And this is it. This is what it is.
What's he explaining now?
I was going to explain. It says, that's right. It says, really, it doesn't say Vigarza Avon Kenneth is a mashal. It doesn't say it.
But
nobody ever said it.
I thought he
took
that at the end of the
prophecy. Vahu, and this is what it is. Sheshi'ifasenu, our desire, Ushi'ifas Kalanshea Chachma, and the desire of all those people who have knowledge, Niyachidei Segula, from those few people, Niyachidei Segula, those few people who are saved, Hepach Shi'ifas Hamon, it's the exact opposite of the desire of the masses. Why? Ki hamone bali ha-toros, because most people who are considered themselves bali ha-toros, yosechov v'aleim v'orav l'sechusam, it's much more dear to them and much more sweet, according to their stupidity, lasos ha-toros v'asechol shnei k'tzavos ha-sosim zezeh, to make the Torah and the sechol two opposites that conflict with one another. See?
That's easy to point to
them. The fools. Says, to the fools always try to make the Torah something which is opposite of the Sechel. They try to make it something opposite of the Sechel. Tremendous ness. Umavaram called over Neged Hamusko. And they explain everything against rationality. The Tonim Boshun Ace. And they say on the contrary that it's a ness. They say, what's the greatness? The greatness is in the Nissan. Right? The Rebbe was able to fly after Mecha. That's right, able to fly after Mecha, after Shalshuvus, before Marv, went after Shemayim and came back. That is the greatness. Right? Ah. Umisrachakim mikach, sheyehei dover al derech hateva, and therefore they they push away, push aside that there should be anything from the Derech HaTeva. Anything should be under, according to the laws of nature. Bein b'mashe sefer b'mashe kfar ava, whether he's talking about something in the past, or bein b'mashe roim b'matzav ha'nechachi, or what they see in the present. Or bein b'mashe ne'mar shu yer basura, something is going to occur in the future. To them, what is greatness? Greatness is something which is miraculous, which is against the sechel. That is the great things. They want to prove how holy a person is. Show me something that he does which is exactly contradictory to reason. Then you'll know that he's a great person. What's the proof of Yadus? How unbelievable certain things are. But we say just the opposite. That Torah and knowledge is echad, is one. And we explain everything according to the natural law, according to the natural order. Efshari, the chol ela, in all these things. Zulasi, mashtenema by the firish. Shunes, vein shem efsharis levara klal, except for certain things which we know that it's an S. Then we say it's an S. Rak ozne oleitz lemash is an S. Only then do we say that it's an S. When it's impossible to interpret in any other way, in any rational way, then we say it's an S. But if it's possible at all to interpret it in terms of natural phenomena, so we always say that it's natural phenomena. Okay? All right, let's just go a little further. Ukvar bi'ana b'mora l'shanas ha'mikra b'rum v'gam l'shanas ha'chom z'ashe divrei nevi'im nemru b'hai m'shalom rabin. Now we explained it in the nevi'im, there are many m'shalom. We explained where this in Marne V'chom. V'rbinu l'vayas adava b'ir sh'yef sh'laf echad min ha'sichlim ha'vakoni in la'kishay. And we explain this so clearly that it's impossible for even one of the argumentative fools to dispute it. And therefore we say, and therefore we say, and also the Gdolei HaMefarshim that came before us, the Rambam says, we say, She'ela Mishalim, that all these things are Mishalim. Okay? Ve'ef she'od lomar, and you could say further, I'm not familiar with that text of Aristotle, but it says there's an Aristotelian text that says that the he said he claims that as civilization increases, that the fierceness of the animals decrease. That's what he says. Ram says he doesn't know. Maybe it does have an effect that way. Maybe when the wilderness is larger, that the animals are more ferocious. Maybe as man encroaches on the animals' territories, that they become more timid. They become more timid. It's possible. What? No, they become more timid because they lose their land. You know, they haven't got the since there's an encroachment on their territory, so they lose their viciousness. Yeah. So it's possible. He says he doesn't know. So maybe it is possible. Maybe it's not. Okay. What? V'yitochin od kizeg guzma. He says, and it's possible that it's an exaggeration. It's possible, of course, the other way. It's just an exaggeration. Torah spoke in exaggerated terms. And the animals really refer to people. But if the pasuk means really literally, then it'll be an ace. Then it'll be an ace only in Harabayas. Just like Chazal say, there never was a case where a nachash or an akra stung anybody and bit anybody in Yerushalayim. So that's an ace. He said, that's an ace. Alright, so then, contradiction?
Yeah.
Question is, first of all, he proves that from the Nevi'im, from the Pasuk, Yimalachor Azdeyas HaRishayim. Right? Which proves that what? That it's not literal.
Right?
Now he's backtracking. Now he says, no. He says that it really could be an S, and an S will only occur in higher bias. I mean, Manashech. He just proved to us that it can't be. Yeah. Good. He just said before the always should interpret it not according to Ness. Now there's two interpretations, so why should interpret it according to the Ness? Right? Okay? Two questions. What do you say? Your question. Let me ask you a question on that too. The Rambam is rational, right? Now, since you could explain it as a Nath, and you could explain it as a Mushal, so what kind of rationality is it? The Rambam says we always try to explain it as a natural. I mean, we always try. I mean, we don't know. Why should we try? Why should we try one way more than the other way? It's possible. It should be an ace, right? He says, unless we're forced, he says, we say it's a natural event, a natural occurrence. What kind of a shot is that?
Why should I say God performs miracles?
That I agree with. If I don't know whether something's a miracle, and I don't interpret it as a miracle.
Right.
But if I have a pasuk, and I don't know whether the pasuk means a miracle or not. So what's the rationale to say it's a mashal?
But can you give me a rationale?
Well, I say it's a mashal. It could be a miracle, right? And it could be a mashal, right?
Say what happened.
What?
What's the
say that first he says that you always interpret it as a natural event, and now he says himself you can say it's a nes. Okay, let's go a little further. Klal shel davar shekol advarim halalu einam yisodes haTorah. The klal is that all these things are not part of yisodes haTorah. Ein lahakpid ben echshi yisburasam. Doesn't make any difference how you explain them. Okay, now it says doesn't make any difference how you explain. The tzarach with kavos lahamim both in klali. You have to hope and believe in a general way. The dvar ma'ila arashay yisgalu b'mehera until they will be revealed quickly soon. Vaz yisbar remei mashal nes, and then we'll know whether it's a mashal or whether it's a nes. So it means he doesn't know. Because
we'll
no one knows. Now we don't know.
Another
contradiction. I don't know. Another contradiction. Before says we know. Before
we
always know. That's right. 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 Ukva yadua, and it is known. Shano misrachik im tachlas arichut, that we keep away completely, extremely. Mishinu yisidre brachus, from any change in the order of brachus. Aval toa ko mishatoa mimisha kadam ayir basid. But the mistake of those of the past, of those of the future, they don't make any difference. Those things that are through an ace, and they don't remain. And they don't have any existence, any permanent existence. They'll be for a specific purpose. In order to demonstrate that a nevuah is true. They don't differentiate between the natural things, natural physical phenomena, which are steady, which is the general way that the world goes. Asher beferish Amr Mzal, Chazal say always, Tamid, Olam Kimin Haga Holef. The world goes in its usual way. Vamru, Emeviyim Raya, Maisa Nissen. You don't bring any Raya from Maisa Nissen. Maisa Nissen are exceptional, which means that Ein San Chal Nes, which means that you have to follow natural order always. Vamar Shlomo, Kikola Sheyasa Holokim, Huyi Yel Olam. Whatever God does is permanent. Olav Ein Lahosif, Mimena in the Groah. So it means that it doesn't change anything. He named his buyer, Kiaz Varma, Tivim, Tmedium, Laolam, Kimenogam. So you see that the natural order is always permanent. Ukvar Bianu Gamazeb is Sefer Hamorah. Kasha Dibarno, Chidash Olam. We spoke about the question of a Kadmas Olam, whether the world was created or whether the world is eternal. Okay? Right, that's the end of the paragraph. Okay. First question we asked was, first Kasha was about the Mashal Vagorzev and Kevitz, right? So the question was, the Rambam says it's all a mashal. Then later he says, no, it's real. What's the pshat in the Rambam? What's the pshat in the Rambam? What does Rambam mean? The Rambam's referring to two things over here. One thing is what the nimshal is. Is there a nimshal? Is there a nimshal? Which means like this. When it says, v'gor ze'ev in kevis, does that mean literally that that's going to be the change in the world? That the animals are going to change? That the Rambam says is stupid. Because it says, right? So definitely it doesn't mean that the only change is going to be a change in the animal life. That's absurd. It's complete absurdity. So you must say that it's a mashal for what? For mankind. Okay? That you must say. It's impossible not to say otherwise. It's impossible to say otherwise. Now, however, there still is another possibility. When the Torah says v'gor ze'ev in kevis, it's still possible that there is a literal meaning to it as well, which means that there, in order to demonstrate, in order to, as an act, as another legis, the essential change is going to be the fact that people will live peacefully, but there will also be a demonstrable change in certain animals in a certain place. You understand? In order to demonstrate to people that this is a different time. And that the times have changed.
Is it
possible
to change
in
people?
1 second. No. Another way, yes. Okay, let me give you an example. For instance, the Rambam says, what is Shekhinah? So Shekhinah means, the Hashgacha Pratis. It means nothing more Hashgacha Pratis. However, he says, if somebody interprets the Shekhinah as a specific light which was created for the event, which was created by God, it's also okay. He doesn't know. He says, maybe it is. But the main idea is that the Hashgacha is in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the main idea of Shekhinah. The main idea of Shekhinah is that the Hashgacha is in the Beis HaMikdash. But you could say also that God, to demonstrate this, created a special light. Nothing wrong with that. You understand? Okay. Same thing over here. The first pshat is that they say there's no nimshal. They say the whole thing is a change in the animal life. This is absurd. It says, Kimalach Allah's Deyas HaRashem. You understand? That's definitely in reference not to a change in the animal life, but in reference to a change in mankind. However, this still doesn't completely take care of the picture. Why? Because you could agree with the Rambam. You could say, yes, true. Of course there will be a change in mankind. However, there will also be a change, a demonstrable change in animal life around Har HaBayis in order to demonstrate to people that the time has come, a new era has elapsed. You see? So then the Gor Ze'ev and Keves could be literal. But not literal the way they say literal. They say literal meaning that this is the whole change. That's absurd, because Kimalach HaLar is Deyas HaLashem, it doesn't make any sense. But it's possible still to maintain both. To maintain that there's a Nimshal, which means that it refers to mankind. However, on a certain spot in the globe, there will be a change in specific animals in order to demonstrate to man that a new era has arrived. That, the Rambam says, is possible.
That could be explained
either by Aristotle or else it's an S. It's an S which will occur on Har HaBayis alone. You understand what I mean? Doesn't mean that the whole animal life is going to change. It's just a nest which will occur in order to demonstrate to people that the new time has arrived.
Could be explained by
you understand what I mean?
Okay.
Could refer. There could be a literal meaning as well. That's all the Rambam is saying. The first shot is saying that there's no literal, that it's all literal. There's no nimshal at all. It's not a mashal at all. That's impossible. Because kimalach ha'aroz de'asar Hashem. However, he says it could have a literal meaning as well. It could be two meanings in the pasuk. You understand? That mankind will change, and also the animals will be different at that time. Either like Aristotle says, or else it will be an S in Har HaBayis. You understand what I mean? Then there's no kashi with the pasuk Kimalach HaLar is Deyas HaLashem. Because Kimalach HaLar is Deyas HaLashem is definitely referring to what?
Yeah.
To the Nimshal, to man, without any question. That's what the Rambam says. This, the Rambam says, I don't know. I don't know which way it is. You understand? But the Rambam assumes, from what the Rambam says, that the Rambam assumes that Vigor Ze'ev and Keves is literal and also it's a mushal. You see, it's literal and also it's a mushal. That's what the Rambam means. You understand? And then there's no kasha from what he said before. This is what the Rambam means. You understand it? Okay, that takes care of one kasha. What was the next kasha? Yes. That's the case, he says, or else it could be simply an SNR bias to demonstrate. To demonstrate that a new time has occurred. It's possible.
Why does he have to demonstrate? What's the reason?
I don't know why God wants to do it that way. That's possible. That's possible for me. Okay? In other words, that man should really sense, because people need a demonstration. So this will demonstrate that it's a new time and that I have to live differently. It's possible. You see? Oh. Now, the second question.
The second question was
when the Rambam says that we always try to say it's not an ace. Right? We always try, unless proven otherwise. Sakam over here, he goes against what he was saying before, right? Fasiri has a choice of two ways, and yet he tries, and then he says it's possible that it's an ace, right?
Okay.
There's three possibilities. Let me put it this way. This is what he says. If you want to look at what he says, there's three possibilities. Either Aristotle, that's one. Then the Yitachin Eichu Guzma. Guzma means it's actually, Guzma means just an expression. Dibritar of Lashon Avoy, which means that there's no such thing as Gozev and Keves, it's completely a mushal. That's the second shot. That's what we thought he meant to begin with. And the third shot is that it's an ace. There's three possibilities. Either the Gor Ze'ev and Keves is nothing. Don't take a literal. There's no literal meaning at all. Or else there is a literal meaning, and the literal meaning is like Aristotle. Or else it's really an ace on Har HaBayis. Three possibilities. You understand? In the second paragraph, the first paragraph, the Rambam's dealing with one thing. That there's a Nimshal. It's stupid to say that it's not a mushal at all. There's no Nimshal. Now he's dealing with the question of whether there is a literal sense also. He says, could be that it's just an exaggeration. Could be that it's Aristotle, could be it's an ace. He says, this I don't know. But there's no contradiction between the second paragraph and the first paragraph. You understand what I mean? Now there's only one question to answer. Second question was, the Rambam before says, whenever we have a choice, we always interpret it as what?
Natural.
And here what does he say? Here he says, take a choice. He says, we won't know until it happens. Which means he doesn't know. Why doesn't he try to interpret it to be the literal? And besides, what kind of a biased opinion is that? I mean, if you don't know, so don't say. What is it? We always try to make it natural. What is it? Better be natural. The Rambam says like this. Listen to Lashon Rambam. Rambam says like this. He says, V'husha she'ifa seinu u she'ifas kalan she'achachma. She'ifa means a desire, objective, ultimate goal. Our goal and the goal of the people, those few people, we call them Yechides Gula, who saw the truth, their goal is completely opposed to the goal of the masses of the Balei HaTorah. Why? He says the masses of the Balei HaTorah always desire to find miracles. says, but we don't. What does he mean over there? What does Rambam mean? Rambam means something over there. What does he mean? Very important principle. What does he mean? See? The thing is like this. What's the purpose of learning Torah? What's the purpose of learning Torah? Okay. The purpose of learning Torah is... See it already? Yeah. Good. You want to say it? The purpose of learning Torah is for a person to gain something. You get it? Purpose is for a person to gain something. To gain something. The person wants to gain something, let's put it in loose terms. To gain something religiously. I hate to use that word. But anyways, I'll use it now vaguely because I'll see why I have to define it later. To gain something, right? Oh. Now it depends what you define as gaining something religiously. Now to a person who is from the Bali HaTorah HaHamoni, from the Hamon, to them a religious gain is something which is completely unbelievable, self-contradictory, and impossible. He feels, after he's seen something like that, he feels a tremendous gain. Now I see what Kedusha is. Right? So when he studies the Torah, he's trying to gain, right? So therefore, he's always trying to find more miracles, because the more miracles he has, the more he gains in the Torah. Right? One second, where is it? Please, I'll give you a chance to think. However, if a person says that gain from Torah is knowledge, so on the contrary, he always attempts to find, to explain it in a way that it's intelligible, because if there's an idea there, then he's gained. However, if it's a miracle, he didn't gain anything. He doesn't understand. Well, what do we gain? Nothing. Do you understand what I mean? That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says our approach is diametrically opposed to the approach of the masses. Because the masses, when they want to gain something, they say, what do they look for? They look for miracles. Oh! And then they go and get one look and the guy became ashes. Then I gain something. Now I have a new kavana when I daven. See, that's the Haman. Why? Because to them, when they see a miracle, they feel they've gained a new religious experience. So therefore, they always try to find the Torah. They search for miracles. And the more the miracles they find, the more happy they are. Because the more they feel they've raised themselves to a higher level. But the Rambam says for us, it's exactly the opposite. Why? Because whenever we don't understand something, when something's a miracle, we gain nothing. We say we don't understand it. We didn't gain any knowledge. However, if there's an idea contained there, and we unravel the idea, then we've gained knowledge. So whenever we approach an area, we always try to interpret it in terms of knowledge so we can gain an idea of it. If we can't, so then we say, okay, that's it. It's a miracle. We can't understand it. That's the wrong thing. The gain is always a gain in knowledge. What knowledge do you gain from the nest? Zero. Do you understand? So he means, the Ram means, whenever we look at Torah, we always attempt to find the idea. So on the contrary, when it's a nest, we're disappointed. It's only a nest. We can't get anything. Right, it's a nest. God made a nest. You don't know. However, if it's part of the world of nature, so then we gain some knowledge. But to them, it's the exact opposite. That's what the Ram means. Not the Ram means we force things around over here. We try to make everything natural when we don't know what it is. He means when we search and try to understand, we're trying to gain knowledge, so we try to look for the idea. If we can't find it, then we say, okay, it's a nest, but force can't help it. You understand? We're disappointed at the nest. That's the difference. See, this is diametrically opposed. Okay, so
we're disappointed.
Just the last part of this spirit.
So why?
Nothing. You see, he says like this. Before, he's just explaining his approach. But you have to also say, you see, he say mentions the possibility. Could be this. He doesn't mean that he's biased in his ultimate decision. But he searches that maybe there's an idea there. That's what he says. It could be it's a natural thing. See, but he can't prove it, so he has to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Doesn't mean he's going to force the interpretation. But he always searches for the idea. That's what he did. He searches. Maybe it's like Aristotle says. Maybe that's the idea. Maybe not. I don't know. But he searches for the idea. Whereas the other ones try to search only for miracles. That's what he says.
Yeah.
You see?
You have the idea anyway.
You understand? He did exactly what he said before. He searched for the idea. Could be it's a natural phenomenon, like Aristotle says, which shows you an idea in nature which the Torah expresses. You see? But he doesn't have to be, he's not biased. He says maybe it is an ace. It's also a possibility, but he searches for the idea. That's the thing. He's not searching for the miracle. Because the miracle doesn't make him any happier. It makes him on the contrary. That's the Pshat Rami. See that? Okay. Now the last part. He says like this. He says we are merachek b'tachlas harichot mishinui sidrei bereshis, from any change in bereshis. Avotei akol mishatei mishakonim. But what was the mistake of those who preceded us and those who will follow us? The mistake was that they don't understand the difference between things that happen by an ace and things that are permanent. And he brings psukim that are permanent. Olam kimin hagei neig and deim evin raim an anes kol ashiyasa lakim hu yeh lo'olam olavein lo'isif vein menlein legroi. What is all this? What is the last part of Ram? There's one more idea contained in this last part in Ram. less and less in his closing words of this paragraph. There's something, some important idea. Anybody address it? He says that people who make mistakes, they don't differentiate between a temporary change and a permanent change. Temporary and permanent. Also, we already mentioned by Navi, temporary and permanent. What's the pshat? Pshat, I guess. If God would make a change and say to Bereshis, a permanent change, that would mean that the